Brother and Sister Fetters enjoyed the fellowship. That's one of the privileges I get that actually not a whole lot of people get. You get to see them before the service, after the service, but I get a chance to sit down with them around a meal and talk and fellowship. Last night, we made some waitress upset at us. We just stayed there a long, long time. And, you know, I try to be careful about that when you haven't seen someone for a long time and you just want to reacquaint yourself and just have a little bit of fellowship. Time can get away from you, and that's when it's sweet. You know what? I find the same thing happens in church. Amen. When the Lord begins to minister the word, you kind of lose track of the time. Isn't that right? Amen. And, you know, there's that guy over in the, or Paul was preaching, and he preached till midnight, and no one minded except for the guy got sleepy and fell out the window. I remember Jim Fleur many years ago, he said this. He said, you remember that guy? You remember Jim? You know Jim Fleur? Most of you know Jim Fleur. He said, you remember that guy over there in the book of Acts that fell asleep and fell out the window? And he said, yeah. He said, well, you know what? He said, there's a good message there. He said, once he fell out, he said, no one could help him, so he hit bottom. Yeah. And he said this. He said, you know what else? He said, what? He said, you know when someone comes back from being away from the Lord, he said, they typically have stories. I said, yeah. He said, well, he had this, the third story and the second story. And the third, yeah. That one got a little bit bad. I know. But anyway, it's been very good to have some fellowship with the Fetters. He's going to come and speak to us, Brother Clark.
I think we both kind of grew up in the ministry together. He was a pastor and I was missionary. And both young when we got started. And God blessed. And we're glad to be here with you tonight. Can't thank you enough, church, for all that you've done for us. Privileged to be with you, our good friends. Come over and meet with us today. I appreciate them. But your giving is amazing. The food's been great. Place to stay. Books. I also gave a gift certificate for books in there. You've just been a blessing in every way, and we appreciate it. We really do. Somehow, maybe we can be a blessing back. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. If you're able to stand with me. We'll read the first verses in this chapter. Luke chapter number 18, and beginning with verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather together once again. And we've counted this freedom as a blessing. And Lord, we're enjoying those blessings even more and more as we see that day approaching. So thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, we need you. I pray somehow you'd use me for the honor and glory. Speak to every heart in the way that you want to reach them, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you know, in May, Sandy and I came back from the mission field. COVID had hit around the world, and it paralyzed our little country. As of today, they still have not had COVID-19. They're trying to get people back into the Marshall Islands, and they did it about 28 people at a time, and four of them had that positive negative test, and so they made them stay in quarantine even longer. That suspended the next group, which are currently in quarantine, trying to get back. So the people of the Marshall Islands, they're doing everything they can to keep it out of there. They're literally scared to death. If you could imagine watching CNN 24/7, and that's all the information they had, this is why they're so paralyzed on this whole situation. It is really scary for them. Believe it or not, we haven't had one case yet. They practice social distancing. You got to wear a mask to go into the bank. They canceled all outdoor activities that they had going on, even canceled the graduation last year. Just amazing to see what had taken place. Well, about March, the U.S. Embassy sent us a letter and said, if you're not vital here in the Marshall Islands, we want you to go back to the U.S. And Sandy, I said, we're vital here. We're not going anywhere. So we just stayed on. The next month, they had the same request. Please, last chance for you guys to get out. You see, we went from having a airplane flight every day to down to one a month. And so they wanted whoever wanted to leave to get off right away. The only good thing about all that is all the Mormons got on the plane and they left and they haven't been able to get back since. So that's a real good thing. And I mean, they all left. They all left. So we've had some, and you might want to pray about that, we've had some Mormon families coming in. And they have been real faithful to the services. So God's doing something there. We praise God for that opportunity. But Sandy had an issue with her right eye, and she lost about a quarter of her vision. She couldn't see. We had no idea what had happened. And so we went down to go see the doctor. And listen, in a third world country, the last thing you want to do is go see the doctor. We had a motorcycle accident one time, and our car had broken down. We couldn't get back and forth. So we went to church, and it was a rainy day. You knew you were going to get wet, so we had rain gear on, and we go on this little 125 Yamaha, and we get into the church, and we have service, and we get back to leaving. We put our, you know, garb back on, and we're heading down the road. We got about, I don't know, a quarter of a mile from the church, going about 30 miles an hour, and out of nowhere comes this dog and takes out our front tire and lays us down. We just slid for the longest time. So I jumped off the bike. Well, actually, she had to help me get up. I was kind of pinned under the thing, and we got up and looked at each other. You okay? You okay? Yeah, we're okay. All right, let's just go home. And so we headed home, and by the time we got home, I was changing my pants because I tore them, and I looked on my hip, and it was just bulging out. And I said, that doesn't look too good. We better go see the doctor. So we go in, and we see the doctor in the emergency ward, and he starts treating us and cleaning up our wounds, did with my wife the same. And as we're sitting there, he says, I want you to spend the night here. And we looked at each other, is there no other way? And yeah, we want you to spend the night. And so we spent the night, and the next morning there was some Seventh-day Adventist orthopedic surgeons, of all things, can you imagine that, right there on island when we were there. And I said, Sandy, I don't know where they're at, but go find them and get them over to check me out. I want out of this place. And so they came and checked me out, had a little ultrasound machine, and they took a view of my hip and said, you got eternal bleeding, but it's not big enough that we'll have to puncture a hole and tube it and drain it. We believe your body will absorb that. I said, can I go home? And he said, yeah, you can go home. Go ahead. He said, let me check your chart first. So he checks my chart, and he's looking it over, and he says, ah, this is not good. And I said, what? He said, well, they're giving you a aspirin-based painkiller for this, and you're bleeding eternally, and that's the worst thing you can do. And I said, man, I want out of here even faster. So he got me off that medicine, and we were fine. Another time, one of our young ladies was in need of a couple pints of blood. So they go down to the hospital, and they start pumping blood into her. It was the wrong blood. And she was just reacting to this terribly. So they stopped that, and praise God she didn't die. They waited a little bit of time, and they started pumping a second dose in. It was the wrong blood the second time. I'm surprised she ever lived through the thing, but she did, and she's fine today. So here we are thinking, we got to go see the doctor. We got to go to the hospital, and that's not what we wanted to do. So we finally go to the hospital, and we try to see the eye doctor and find out, because of COVID, he's stuck in India. He's an Indian from India, and he's stuck there. And so there's nobody. Is there anybody there that can help us? Well, there's a nurse here. Let's see what he can do. And this nurse had some equipment, had some knowledge. So he took visions of her and pictures of her eyes, you know, and he's looking at it, took the pressure. And he says, you know, everything looks just fine. And I said, well, why can't she see a quarter of her eye? I have no idea. And so we are trying to figure out what to do in this whole thing. And when we contacted the doctors back here, they started giving some ideas of what it might be. And about a week goes by, and we don't know what to do. But when we went back to the doctor about a week later, he says, go try this test and this test. And so we went back, he's nowhere to be found. He just decided not to show up that day, that nurse. This happened like three times before we ever got to see him. Anyways, make a long story short, there was nothing they can do. They had no idea. And the doctors were guessing back home it was probably macular degeneration. And get on the first flight out. And we had known that the flights had stopped. And so I called United and I said, we need to get on the next flight out of here. And they said, this is about the 14th of May. And they said, that's June 17th. And I said, that is the best you got? Yeah, there's no flight in May, none at all. And I said, wow. And so you sit back on a little 4.5 square mile island and you wonder, God, what is this? What's going on here? And there was no doctor that could help us. We couldn't get any plane flights to help us. But I was on first name basis with the Lord of heaven. And he was able to help out where we couldn't get any help. So out of all places, my daughter calls me and says, Dad, I got a message from the embassy in Pohnpei. They said there's a flight coming through on May the 20th. And I said, well, I don't think they're going to stop here, Rachel. And she said, well, I'm looking at the schedule and it's showing stopping in Majuro. I said, you got to be kidding. I just called yesterday. They said there was no flight at all. So I went ahead and called our embassy in Majuro. Is it true? We got a flight coming through. We are not aware of any flight coming through Majuro. No, it's not true. So I thought, well, I'm going to call our local agent, see what they say. And they said, yes, we are working out a flight on May the 20th. And I said, praise the Lord. And I got a hold of that. I said, well, we need to get on. My wife is, you know, losing sight. And by this time, she's lost 3/4 of her sight in that eye. And they said, well, the only problem is it's a booked flight and there are many people on standby. I can put you on standby behind the others, best I can do. And I said, well, put us on. We've got to do something. I can't stay around knowing that June the 17th is the next opportunity. And so we went ahead and got on that flight. And then I prayed. And I said, Lord, I need better than this. Something's got to be better than this. And so when I called back United.com, I said, there is a flight happening. And they're trying to work out the details. You see, what happened is in the flight that came through in April, when it landed, it broke down. And because of the COVID situation, the Marshallese government would not let anybody get off the plane. They all had to stay on there. And they said, look, we're going to be 10 hours before another plane comes. I don't care. They're not getting off the plane. So they did let them get off and go down to the base of the plane, but they all had to stay there. They wouldn't let them in any of the facility. And so this really caused a rift between United and the Marshallese government. And so now they want to come in May and they're saying, hey, we cannot come if you don't help us out, if we break down. What are you going to do? You should have seen it. It was absolutely amazing. They put these two men in hazmat garments. I mean, they were covered head to toe. It's 95 degrees out. You can just see in their glasses, they are just sweating like crazy. And they go on board and do their duty and come back off. Amazing what we've seen take place. All because some people say that this is the worst thing that's happened since the Spanish flu. But it hasn't. It isn't by far. So anyways, I talked to them and they said, well, we'll get you a reservation. And they got us a reservation. We weren't on standby anymore. We were going to go out on the 20th. So, man, we're pumped up. We're praising God. We talked to the church and let them know what's happening. And they really saw God move in because, first of all, there was no flight. And second of all, how do we even find out about it? My daughter getting an email from Pohnpei? That's just God working out the details. So we get this all ready. We're sitting there in the airport, and all of a sudden I noticed some of the United people talking one with another, and I thought, Sandy, that's not good. Something's not right. So I went and talked with them, and the lady said, well, the plane has broken down on the island of Koshrai, and it's not going anywhere. It's not coming today. Well, by this time, I already had all my flights set up all the way back to Cleveland. The very next day, go to Cleveland Clinic, get right to the eye doctor. Everything was set. Well, we were going to be postponed 24 hours. That means we missed everything we had set up. It was just a disaster. And so I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. So God's speaking to me through my daily reading. And I started thinking, you know, Job said in Job 1:21 and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, Lord, okay, if this is your will that Sandy loses her sight, then that's just what we do. We move forward. I started thinking about other verses when Paul asked the Lord to remove his infirmity three times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 and 9, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I said, "All right, Lord, this is it. This is you're going to take this weakness and make us strong. To God be the glory. And naked I came in the world, naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I started thinking about the Lord. Three times he asked to have that cup not be administered to him, but there was no other way. And the Father said, "No, take." So I thought, okay, what do? You pray three times, and if you don't get any answer and that's it, you're done. If that's what it is, that's fine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we had no idea what was going to happen or take place. But then I'm reading in my daily reading in chapter 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto me to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." He said, "Dave, don't you quit praying and don't you faint. Just keep praying, keep praying, and keep praying." Down later on, it says night and day. And I took that literal. I was praying night and day for Sandy to regain her sight. I didn't know what the Lord was going to do. I didn't know if she was going to lose her sight or get it back. But the question was, I wasn't going to quit praying. And I was going to keep praying until I got an answer to what was taking place. And then he brought back to my mind the blind man in John 9 in verses 2 and 3. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Listen, this thing, somehow, some way, both Sandy and I agreed, was to give honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Whether we got her sight back or whether we didn't, it was going to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And that was going to be fine. It wasn't my sight, though. That's easy for me to say. It was her sight. And that was a lot harder for me to do. So I just prayed. I just committed that. And I watched our church see God move, actually do the impossible that he made possible. Nobody else could have made this work. You could say all you want. God provided that flight. He got us on there and got us back speedily to get the help that we needed. I believe that. I believe that to this day. I stand before you tonight giving God the honor and glory of the great things he has done. I said, "Lord, if you give her sight back, everywhere I go, I'll praise your holy name and I'll tell them what you did." And so everywhere I've went, I wanted to tell what the Lord has done in our lives. But it's really hard not knowing how to pray or what to do, but just trusting God on a little 4-mile island. And that's what we did. And God is getting the glory. You know, that delay, instead of being 24 hours late, actually came that next about noontime. And they said, "If we really get this thing together, we could get you to Hawaii in time to catch your next flight, and you'll be able to get everything else right on time." We have never made it back from our home there to my daughter's house in Parma, Ohio, quicker than 48 hours. That's been the best. With all the layovers, all the stuff that you got to do, it's 48 hours. Here we have a time of need, and God moved speedily because he got us back there, brother, in 24 hours. The best we've ever had. Normally we have a 20-hour wait in Honolulu. 20-hour wait. But you know what they did? They got us through customs, right, speed us through right there. They ran us right to the gate. We got on the next plane and off we went. They actually held the plane up for us. And that got us back. So we were just praising God on what he's doing and just amazing and knowing that if he's taken it this far, there's something he wants in our lives. There's something he wants out of this thing. In our text there in verses number 2, it says, saying, "There was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he asked within himself, saying, I fear not God, nor regard man. Yet, because of this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." You know, we find a judge here that he did not fear God. It's a bad thing when a judge does not fear God. It's a bad thing. Pastor and I were talking earlier about the three things God instituted. The marriage. Listen, if our Creator gives us the plan for a marriage, and it's right there in the Bible, if we neglect it, it's our own fault. But if we'll obey and do what it says, you know what we're going to have? If a husband will be the husband he ought to be, a wife be the wife she ought to be, we're going to have a wonderful marriage if we do it according to the Word of God. He created marriage. He knows how it works. Just trust Him and do it. Your church is no different. He created the church. He instituted the church. And if you're going to have a God-fearing, God-honoring church, you're going to have to do it by the Word of God. Praise God, we don't have to worry about what our forefathers did, that we have it afresh and anew right there before us, and we can trust God at His Word. And it's great seeing your church obey the Word of God and have a wonderful church that God is honoring and God is blessing. You're very privileged. I travel around. You have something unique here. You may not know it, but you ought to thank God for what you have. But then also He created government. And if you're going to have the right kind of government, you're going to need God's help. Jehoshaphat, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, was talking to his judges. And he said, here's some things you need to remember when you judge. This is what he said. 2 Chronicles 19, verses 6 and 7. And he said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take heed to it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. He said, don't respect people. If you're a judge, don't take gifts. And the judgment of the Lord, there is no iniquity with it. It'll be just right every time. Just represent God as you make that judgment, and you'll do just fine. That was great wisdom that they had. One of the wisest things the United States ever did was create the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The Declaration of Independence. Great, great documents. Where'd they get those ideas? From our heavenly Creator. That's where they got those ideas. And these have succeeded for 244 years. They provided. You compare our government with any other government out there, and we are the longest democracy, a republic there is in the world. It's amazing what God has done through those documents. But you know what? The devil, according to Peter, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when he saw what God was doing in America, he did not like it. Boy, you go back in the late 20s and 30s and you find humanism coming into America. You see, the devil is a lion, and a lion is patient. You know, a lion, if you study out, is kind of a lazy animal. I mean, they just lay around most of the time, but when they're hungry, they're not going to sprint after some animal. No, they'll go hide in tall grass. They'll screech down so they can't be seen. And they won't even move. They're patient. They're smart. They wait till that animal gets close enough that they can just strike out and get them without much of a fight. That's the way the devil works. Man, when he saw America, he started laying the snares, starting with that. That comes through in our history, and we get to 1962. They take prayer out of public schools. Patient. Well, it's just prayer. That's not anything. It's a lot. It changed the course of America. Within 5 years or about that time, he gets our Supreme Court to rule in favor of murdering babies. And now 62 million babies have been murdered. You can call it whatever you want. It's murder. When you do what they do to these children, it's murder. It's wicked. It's ungodly. Wasn't soon after that that they infiltrated, Satan infiltrated our universities. He said, look, if these children make it past abortion and they are able to live and be born, we'll get them in the universities. And then they started planning judges. Hey, listen, we didn't get to where we're at today in just a year or two. It's been planned. He's patient. Satan has been doing this for a long time. He's got our judges. Boy, we have a situation where we have problems with our voting, and the one place that could help and serve justice is the Supreme Court of the United States, and they said, we don't want to touch it. What in the world are they there for? They took their hands off the situation. This started a long, long time ago. Now, not only do they have those things, they have the White House, the Senate, House of Representatives. They have it all. But they don't have Jesus, amen? We're still in the majority. And if you want me to choose, I'm choosing Jesus every time. It's been a rough year for many people, but you know, as I spoke with my wife, really 2020 has been a very good year for us. It's been a very good year. Yeah, we've had some things that we may have trusted in, kind of stripped away from us. But man, if it brings us closer to our Lord and Savior, there isn't anything better than that. And they're going to strip more away. That's all right. We win. I read the end of the book. We win. We just got to keep on going and make a difference. Listen, they've called for the end of the Constitution this year. The United States of America is not the same place that it used to be. It's never going to be. As a missionary, you know when you get to the country that there's perimeters that you have to work within that maybe we didn't have an issue with back in America, but we do there. So you can complain about it and bellyache about it all you want, or you can just say, all right, I'm going to work within these perimeters and do what I can do for the cause of Christ. Listen, even Jesus was put under the Roman government. Who's that coin? Oh, that's Caesar. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar. But he did all of his ministry purposely, perfectly, even under those situations. So we may have to change some things how we do. So be it. Keep on going. We don't change the book. We don't change our soul winning. We keep going. Listen, I love knocking on doors. I love talking to people about Christ. Man, COVID kind of killed that thing. People don't want to open their doors anymore. But it's all right. When you have decades of replacing the good things that America has with bad things, what do we expect? Work within what we have. You know, this lady here, this widow, and it's kind of neat that it was a widow. You know, a widow, on the most part, is kind of helpless. Not much she could do. Here she has a situation that there was one person who can help her, and that was it. And she went to him and asked for help. Maybe if she had some silver and gold that she could line his pockets with, that he would have gave favor to her long before, but she probably didn't have any money. She probably had no political clout that she could help him politically. So he just would refuse to see her. I don't know if she came to the house and knocked on the door every day or many times in a day, but I know one thing, she came all the time asking for his help. And he would just avoid her at all costs. Finally, he realized that this isn't going to work. Man, this lady's not leaving me alone. And he realized because of her persistence, the smartest thing he could do is make judgment for her to basically get her off his back. And so he finally does make a judgment for her in that case. In verses number 6, the Bible says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, unto him, though he bear long with them? Yet I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. You know, in this parable, there's always, like any other parable, a great truth that we're to pull away. And like looking into out the window at something great and big, and a great truth that Christ has for us here. And as we look at this, we look at some players that we have. We have an unjust judge, didn't fear God, could care less about people. He just did what he wanted to do. We have another character, which is this widow lady. And she had a great need. And then we look at those two characters and we try to figure out, now what is the focus here on this parable? Was it the ungodly judge? And I'm telling you this evening, it was not the ungodly judge. He was not the focus of this parable. And listen, if we look out tonight, there's so many ungodly judges. We get our mind fixed on all that stuff and we forget why we're here and what we're to do. The unjust judge in America, that's not the focus. It's not about him. Is he unjust? Yeah, he's unjust. He's wicked. He takes bribes. He does all that stuff. Not about him. Well, then it must be about the widow woman. She had a great need. Nobody can help her but this one man. It's not about the widow woman. It really isn't. As we came back and Sandy had a great need, it really wasn't about Sandy and her great need. This whole situation for us, this whole situation with this parable is verse number one, that men ought always to pray and to not faint. We need to be about God's business on our knees day and night praying and not fainting. That's what I pulled out of this portion of scripture, is men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here Christ takes this ungodly judge and he compares an ungodly judge with the Heavenly Father. Now, what kind of a comparison is there between an ungodly judge and the Heavenly Father? There is no comparison. That's the point. If an ungodly judge will finally do the right thing, what will God, who loves and cares for his own, do for them? Amen. Oh, so much more. So much more. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for us to be persistent in our life. And saying, you know what, God, this is so important to me. I'm going to come to you day and night. And I'm not going to quit until I get an answer. It's not always the answer we want, but when you hear from God, you've heard something good. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're to keep the faith. Listen, you have an America that is scared to death right now. Scared to death. Man, the whole news media and tech giants and politicians are scaring everybody to death. You know who they're looking to? They're looking to us. What are you going to do? Are you going to stand? Are you going to let this thing alter your life? We must remain faithful to our Lord and Savior. We must continue praying and not be moved. And you know what you'll find? He'll speedily help you in your need. I don't know about you, but making it in 24 hours versus 48 hours is pretty quick. Only God could do that. I've made over the years, I don't know how many trips. Best was 48 hours, 24 hours. God knows your need and he wants to help. Will you let him help? We had the surgery on May the 22nd. I believe it was May the 26th. Sandy has her surgery. The doctor looks at her and says, Sandy, you've had that detached retina for 20 days. Is that right? Yeah. We need you in day one if we can help you. He said, I don't know what. She said, I don't know what I can do for you, but we're going to go ahead and have the surgery. And think about that. A doctor just tells you that. You're just ready to have surgery. So I'm out in the car. I can't even be in the hospital with her because of this COVID thing. So I'm out in the car. And just waiting and praying, and she's in there, and finally find out when the surgery's done. And, well, the surgery went pretty well. We won't know for months to tell you if it is going to work or not. And through those months, that lady was pregnant, her surgeon. And then she disappeared for about 3 months, somewhere between August and December. And so Sandy didn't see her those months. During that time, she had her left eye have the same problem as her right eye. And it didn't tear all the way, but there were several holes. And they said, we want to do laser surgery on your left eye so that it won't tear like your right eye did. And so they did laser surgeries, and they zapped this thing about 100 times into her left retina, trying to reattach these holes that were there. And they said, we think this will stop it, and you won't have a detached retina like your other eye. And we asked, like the pastor asked, well, how did this happen? Why, you know, somebody hit her in the eye or anything like that? No. She just has a pretty large prescription, and so her eyes are elongated. And because of that, it stretches that retina, and they find that people who have torn retinas usually have kind of poor eyesight in the first place. I think her prescriptions were about 650, if you know anything about eyes. She can't see anything without her glasses. She's just that blind. So she's been 10 years old. She's had problems with seeing. So This is what happens. And so she has that surgery. And then later on, she had the cataracts removed in both eyes and new lenses put in. During that time, the other doctor she was seeing said, "Look, Sandy, we are excited that we can get you 2100 vision in that eye. 2100. We are excited about that." And so we think, well, that's 2100 is a whole lot better than what she's got now. So praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so she goes ahead and has those cataracts removed and the surgery in her eyes. And after a week, she comes back and they tested her eye and they said, "You have 20/30 vision in that eye. 20/30 vision. 20/20 vision in her other eye. She doesn't even wear glasses now." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Only God can do that. You can say what you want, but my God made that happen. 20 days, it's just not heard of to have that come back. But God did. You know, there was three things that helped me so much during that time. And the first is the Word of God. Man, God spoke to my heart. He put me in the right direction. He lit up in my life, my dark life at that time. And He showed me what I needed to do. And I trusted Him and we went forward. And God gave us better than we could ask or even think. That's what God has done for us. So the Word of God did that. And then the ability we have to go to the throne of God. That's only through Christ. If Christ didn't die for us, we wouldn't have that opportunity. But He did. And He wants us to come to Him night and day, bringing our request. He's a Heavenly Father that cares and loves and wants to bless you speedily. But will you be persistent like that widow lady? Now listen, you're here tonight. You probably don't have a detached retina, but I know you have needs in your life. And I know you have family. And I know your heart's broken over some of your family. They may be lost or just backslidden in sin. But it breaks your heart. Why don't you come to the Lord? Why don't you pray always and don't faint? Why don't you just keep day and night coming to the Lord until you get an answer? When we had the Word of God working for us, we had the opportunity to go to the throne of grace, but then we had the Holy Spirit of God working inside of us. I didn't know what to pray. Do I pray three times and that's it? Lord, if that's it, that's fine. That's what I'll do. I'll believe you and trust you. We'll move on. No, I prayed and the Holy Spirit took my prayer. Look at Romans chapter 8. You know these verses. You don't even have to look into it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't want to be selfish and go against the will of the Lord. I wanted God to get the glory. Romans 8, 26. Here I am, down on my knees, day and night. Likewise, the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Holy Spirit of God, I'm praying. Lord, what do you want? Man, he takes those prayers up into heaven. This is what this family needs. God hears that and speedily answers. I had the Word of God working for me. I had the opportunity to go to the throne of grace. And I had the Holy Spirit of God working for me. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen in our future here in America. I don't know if we've just seen the beginning of really hard times. I don't know. But it really doesn't matter as long as we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and we allow Him to lead and we continue to go to the throne of grace. Whatever your need, it doesn't matter. Just take it to the Lord. He will hear. And lastly, in verse number 8, it says, in the second part of that verse, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Why are we going through this big trial and temptation that we see? I think He's going to find out who has faith. Will you have faith? When Christ comes back, will I have faith? Listen, we need to determine that we're going to be those people of faith that continues going to the throne of God night and day. And we won't quit until Jesus comes back. In chapter number 17, we see talking about some of the latter days. And then we see Jesus talking about and healing the 10 lepers. And of those 10 lepers, how many come back and thank the Lord for what he did? One. I guess I'm asking you tonight, will you be that one? Will you be that one that returns and thanks the Lord even when we're going through difficult times? Listen, we need the Lord every day of our lives. We need to be the one who thanks him and praises him for what he's doing. But the Lord continues talking in chapter 17 about the last days. Then he asks a question in chapter 18. Will he find faith on the earth? Listen, the world is changing at a rapid pace. Never seen anything like it in my life. I'm 58 years old. Some of you are older, some of you are younger, but I've never seen anything like this in my life. And then I ask the question, why now, Lord? Why am I back here right now? Why am I with my daughter and my son and their families right now? Why can't I get back to my mission field right now? I'll be honest with you, I don't know when they're going to open the doors for us to go back. I have meetings booked through the middle of March. Then I have nothing. I'm just trusting God somehow we'll be able to get back. Why are we back right now? Why is my son back? His wife also had some illnesses that she's taken care of. And why are we both back right now? What in the world is going on here? I don't know. Just trusting God every day. Just trying to keep my eyes focused on him and asking him to be that light so I can see through all these dark things that are coming in front of us. No coincidences, we're back. But I know one thing. COVID, the riots, the protests, all those things is really just smoke and mirrors. Satan is in his latter days. His time is running out. He's trying to assemble this great fight against God, which never makes sense to me because he knows the Bible better than we do, and he knows he loses in the end. But I guess being full of pride is what does that. He's not going to quit because he's just so full of pride. But listen, we have got to be the ones that continue on. We have to be the ones that have faith in him, that stays in prayer. And we have to be the ones telling about the amazing saving grace of Jesus Christ. We have a great world in need. We're left here for one reason. The only reason I can see is to preach the gospel and make disciples. If you know any other reason we're here, please let me know. Because I think the only reason I'm left on this earth is to preach the gospel and make disciples. We ought to be at our best. Anybody who runs in a race, they save the best for the last. They call it the kick. You give that kick at the very end. You give it the best. I don't know about you, but I think we're coming to the finish line. And we ought to go out with honor and glory, preaching our Lord's salvation and trying to make disciples. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. And I thank you for what you've done in my wife's life and my life. Lord, you're good. And we just need to depend upon you. We have no idea what's coming down the road. The signs are it's not good for the Christian. Everything is marked against him. But God is all we need, but God. We know you'll be there for us, Lord. You'll give us the grace to go whatever that comes our way. Please use this invitation time to speak to hearts. And may we always be on our knees praying day and night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.